thanks be unto the Lord for that. Tonight, the message that God has put on our heart is one that I believe that we all can relate with. If the house was full, I could say the same thing, because we're going through so much as a church, as individuals, as a nation, even around the world, we're going through so much. And in the book of John, in the 16th chapter, you know this verse tonight, no doubt, by heart. But we're going to skip through the first part of the verse and go to the second sentence in this verse, because I believe that it's a encouragement that we all need from the Word of God. Nothing encourages me more than when God's Spirit passes by. His Word is revealed to us, as Jack said, and no matter how many times you read it, no matter how many times you preach from it, God's Word is so alive in us today. In that 16th chapter, the book of John, in the 33rd verse, reading the second sentence in that verse, just the first part, he says, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Just that one part tonight. We shall have tribulation. And my mind went back that ever since God created man and put him in the garden, there has been tribulation. There's probably not a generation that hasn't seen tribulation at one time or another in their life. Today it feels like that it's just ongoing. I looked up the definition of tribulation, and it means great trouble or suffering. And another part of it, explanation of that word, means a state of great trouble or suffering. And I think that that's where we're at today. We're just in a continuous motion of tribulation. We get out of one thing and we just go into something else. I've never seen a time, though, in my life where people are so apprehensive. They are so stressed. So much anxiety that we have today. And even if you'll have it, just downright fear that we have in our lives with everything going on around us. We have this because the world is in turmoil. Not only is our individual lives in turmoil, but the whole world is in turmoil. And the Scripture tells us that in the last days that we shall see trouble like we've never seen before. How many of you believe that we are very well into the last days upon this earth before the Son of God comes in the clouds of glory? We've never seen it. And our trouble comes from the one who has caused trouble ever since the beginning of time, which is Satan himself. God encourages, Satan discourages. And he is discouraging so many today that it's not just the world, it's not just a group of people. But I believe that if we'd all be open before God and each other tonight, we would say, yes, the Satan has truly brought discouragement upon me. He's brought it upon me. Everything might be good as far as the home. Everything might be good as far as the job. Or it might be good as far as your family or the church. But none of us can say that it's good in all four. there's trouble somewhere in every aspect. When we look at this, how that we're having so much tribulation. Today at work, I thought about everything that Satan brings against us to cause the tribulation that we're facing in our lives. And if you can't say amen to all of them, certainly we can say amen to one or more of these tonight. So bear with me for a few minutes of time. Satan, to bring tribulation, brings temptations upon us. He also brings and harasses us. Does he harass anybody else tonight? He lies to us. He threatens us. He's evil to the core. He brings deceptions to us that brings this tribulation. Our thoughts, even when we try to think good, Satan will bring bad thoughts. And when I say that, I'm not talking about worldly bad things, but he'll bring things upon us that, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? What will you do if this comes to pass? And these thoughts, if we're not careful, will overtake us and bring such tribulation to our minds and our hearts. He brings discouragement upon us to the point that sometimes we're so discouraged that we can't even hold our heads up. We might look on the surface like everything is okay, but inside, we're just torn apart. He brings frustrations upon us like we've never seen before. Sometimes we're too quick with these frustrations to just bark at somebody. And Becky would say tonight, when we leave here, you preached on yourself again. Because sometimes we're all in that situation. He brings depression upon us. Folks say, I would never admit that I have depression. Well, you're just fooling yourself. He brings despair and also division. If he can bring division amongst us, he's caused the trouble that he set out to do. He said he would put mother against daughter, father against son. He'd put husband against wife. He put brother against sister. It doesn't matter. He comes to destroy. We know the scripture tells us well that he comes to destroy with things that look at on the surface that they're all right or that they won't affect me like they affected everybody else. He comes to bring condemnation to us. How many of us, Satan will remind you of things that happened years ago. He will never let them lie. He always brings them back up. He just keeps digging and digging. He brings worry upon us. I don't know about you, but if I'm not worried about me or my circumstances, I'm worried about the kids and their circumstances, and I worry about the grandkids. And let me put this in because God laid on my heart today to remind you, I'm not just worried about mine, I'm worried about yours. Being a pastor brings a great burden, and it's prematurely aging me because of the love and the care that is there. But I don't know of a better group of people I'd rather help carry a burden for in this life than the people at Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. He brings hardships against us. And he brings them against our children, our family. He'll bring them against our home life, our work life, our church life. He'll bring them against anything. Because you see, how many of you know that the scripture tells us, Jeremiah said it like this, God said, I know my thoughts towards you. I know my plans towards you. But did you know Satan also has a plan to you? And his plan is to try to tear down everything good that God has done in your life and in mine. Keep your guard up. Remember when they was building the walls at Jerusalem? They was working with one hand and had a sword in the other. And in the New Testament, Paul told us to have on our armor of God, because Satan is working so hard to tear down everything good that God has given to us. And we're not the first ones. The first ones, we can go back to the book of beginnings in Genesis and find out it started there in the garden. Tribulation came. In 1 Samuel, the Bible tells us that when God withdrew his spirit from Saul, Saul had a distressing spirit that came upon him that caused him to even try to kill David with a spear. Sometimes, if we're not careful, that distressing spirit will overtake even the best of us. Has anybody else ever just lost your cool and you wonder why? It's that spirit that the devil has that he brings upon us to try to take away our joy. Peter said it like this, for us to be vigilant. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's not your friend. He is our adversary. And he comes as a roaring lion to devour whom he may. He makes it look good. You remember the song from the 70s? How he said it makes it look good, but it ain't nothing but a lie. That's how he comes. Satan will come at us and tell us today to bring this tribulation upon us that our situation is hopeless. Has he told anybody else that? He'll tell us that you're a failure. And some may say, Brother Jim, does he tell you that almost every day? I can get up and try to follow God in the Spirit in the church, as soon as I get in the car, sometimes not even then, he's already telling me what a failure that I've been. You should have said this in the message, or you should have left that out. But you know, sometimes I have to remind him, I don't work for you. Amen. Amen. He'll tell us that you're no good. She told anybody else that. And no one cares about you. You might as well just give up. No wonder our young people are in such disarray, because they have this voice of Satan. People say, do you believe Satan speaks? Yes. I know he speaks. I know he does. He'll attack our self-esteem, make you feel like that you are nothing at all. He'll attack you and attack you. He'll tell you that no one likes you. He'll come to destroy our own confidence. And I know, if nobody else wants to admit it, some days I feel like I can conquer the mountain. Other days I trip over a pebble. Our confidence depends on who we listen to. And in times of tribulation, when I think about everything that's going on, it's easy for our confidence to evade us. He'll tell us that you're a miserable Christian. He told anybody else that? Or you're a miserable church member. He'll tell us that you didn't get what you thought you did when you went to the altar and said, God saved you. But Brother Jim, I can take him back to the altar. In fact, I know where the building was at. The building is gone, but I believe I could almost take you to the spot on the grounds where I bowed my head and asked the Lord to save my soul. A lot of things in life I'm uncertain about, but one thing I know for sure, I'm his and he's mine. Everything else He may push me from one side to the other. But one thing I know for certain, I am saved to the uttermost by the grace and the power of God. And Satan will come against us, and he even uses other people to try to bring tribulation upon us. And I like to tell you, it's just the world. But how many of you have ever had even a born-again child of God to speak tribulation upon you? He'll use people. Ask Nehemiah when they was there building the wall. Did he not hear if a fox were to walk on it, it would crumble? Or ask Noah when he was trying to follow God's instructions and build this ark. There were those naysayers that was there and said, "What is this rain that you're talking about? It's never rained. All the mist came up from the ground for all the watering of the plants and for everything that we needed. What are you talking about?" And they probably, like us, called us crazy. Anybody else been told that you're crazy for going to church 3 times a week? People look at you like you've lost your mind. The standard reply they give you is, "I go once a week, and I don't stay as long as you stay. I guess I just need more. And I need more of God's word." You see, the only thing that will stand against Satan is having a prayer life that you know is real between you and God. How many of you know God still hears prayers and he answers them? Hallelujah. We have our Bible that we can open up. Whenever Satan comes against us, the only thing he fears is not your words or my words, but he fears the word of God. Even Jesus, during Satan trying to bring tribulation upon him, did he not 3 times say, "It is written"? And Satan finally had to flee. Look what happened, though, if I can go back and just rehearse the scripture one more time. After Satan fled, the Bible says, and the angels came and ministered unto him. Every time we have a victory, I believe that there's praise that takes place in the Spirit of God. Maybe not with angels amongst us, but God and the church rejoices when we have these victories. Some folks might say, "How do I know that it's Satan and not God causing all this?" Because when Satan comes, whatever's happening in your time of tribulation, if you go back and read the Word of God, what he is telling us and what he is doing goes against the Word of God. It goes against the Word of God. And when he comes, it causes anxiety to flare up. When Christ speaks, he whispers sweet peace to my soul. Oh, it might be Wednesday night, but we can praise the Lord. He whispers sweet peace. When Satan comes, he accuses us, blames us. You know, he blames me for things I even had no part of. But when the Lord comes by, he lifts us up. There's a song the choir sings every once in a while. The Lord lifts us up above the shadows. You see, in the shadows is where Satan is at. You remember the woman that lost the coin in her house? You know what she did? And this goes back to a message from years gone by. She said, "Oh, light the lights, and I'll sweep the floor." She wanted to see what was going on. Some might say, "Well, that's not descriptive enough for us." Well, go back to when Elijah was there on the mount. The Bible says that the wind came by, God was not in the wind. The earthquake came, and God was not in the earthquake. But then the fire came, but God was not in the fire. But then there was a still, small voice that spoke. I believe Elijah had a shouting spree on that mountain. You see, I've said it before, and I'll say it one more time. I hate Satan. I hate the devil. And I hate all that he brings against us and ours. Because when he comes against us, he's not trying to just take away the peace of our family, but he's trying to take away our peace. He knows where to attack. And he does not fight fair. He hits low. He hits low. John said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Jesus told his apostles and disciples when he was here, he said unto them, they did it unto me. Talking about the trouble, talking about the tribulation, they shall do the same unto you. Don't think that we're going to be exempt just because we're Bible-believing, born-again, Spirit-filled children of God. Don't think that we're exempted because we're in the year 2022. Don't think we're exempt because we go to church three times and we pray and we read our Bibles. Satan don't care who you are, what your title is, and what church you belong to. He's come to bring tribulation upon each and every one of us. You say, Roger, that's awful depressing to bring such a message, but I'm not done. Amen. Because you read the rest of the verse. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be ye of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. No matter what we face, our Lord and Savior has already been here. Everything we go through, he's already gone through it. And I hear him say that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that loves each and every one of us today. It may be hard times, but hard times is what separates the sheep from the goats. Brother Jim, I didn't know I was going to preach all this tonight, but he made mention about in Greece how that COVID has caused so many church members and folk not to come back. We're seeing it across America. But you know, those that are real sheep, Brother Wayne, I told him yesterday when I talked to him, because I feel like whenever I call people, they're thinking I'm calling to say, where have you been? When are you coming back? I told him, I said, that's not my purpose. Because I said that after he said, you know we'll be there if we could. I said, Wayne, that's not my purpose. I called to check on you to see how you was feeling. I know you would be here if you could. The sheep always want to eat from the true word of God. Goats will eat anything. Amen. Naturally speaking and spiritually speaking, they'll eat anything. But I need something that's got some substance to it. Something that tells me, yes, we are going through hard times, but lift up your head, for your Redeemer liveth. He lives, not just for today, but forevermore. You see, Satan can bring tribulation, and he does against every one of us. If it were possible, he would take away every one of our robes and crowns. But there's one thing he can't touch, and that is, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. It may be dark now, but hold on just a few more days. I hear the writer to say, weeping may endure for a night. How many of us today lie upon our bed and weep over the things that has come against us? You know, there's no security anymore. There's, you know, the future sometimes looks so dim. But for those that have been born again by the Spirit of God, no matter how dark the world gets, heaven still shines as bright as it ever did. In fact, the closer I get there, the brighter it gets. And I'm thankful tonight that we may have tribulation. And I hear the apostles to say it like this: count it all joy when you suffer for his name's sake. Count it all joy. I believe them fellas, when they got beat because they preached the gospel, soon as they let them go, you know what they did? They went right back and started preaching again. You know why? Because people was in trouble. They needed something to set them free. Tonight, we need something to set us free. It's not the government. Amen. It's not the government. The only thing that will set us free is Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And the scripture says, when he sets us free, we are free indeed. Nothing can bind us. He may mess with our minds, but he can't touch our heart. Amen. He cannot touch our heart. So even though, and I rehearsed this in my mind, I wonder if preachers during the Great Depression brought a message similar to this, or maybe when the wars were going on, when moms and dads sent their boys and girls overseas, or during all the conflicts that we've had, during all the great calamities that this country and the world has gone through. You say, well, it's a sad message. If you dwell upon the tribulation, it can be. But how many of us today will say we are stronger today in our relationship with God because of what we have been through? We couldn't stand where we're standing at today had we not went through those things. So in my conclusion tonight, just think, if we hold on to the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, how much stronger we're going to be tomorrow and the next day. Jack, every time we read it, it blesses our soul and it encourages us, and we're going to get stronger and stronger in the Lord, in our faith, in our relationship. And yes, Satan, I used this illustration many, many years ago when this toy was popular. We as children of God, we are built upon a firm foundation. Amen? We're built upon the rock. Not Peter, but we're built upon Jesus Christ, right? Many years ago in a message, I said it like this: we're like weebles. Satan may knock us from one side to the other, but he can't knock us down. And he can't knock us off the rock. Amen? He cannot knock us off the rock. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was going to say all that, but I wouldn't take a word of it back, because we need to be encouraged. No matter how dark it is now, the sun will rise in the morning. Amen. Trouble won't last always. We will have a song of victory that we can sing once we make it through this valley. Amen. This won't last always, but we'll come through and we will shout the victory. Let me close with this. When they came through the wilderness and they've been there all that 40 years, when they finally got to Canaan land, there was a celebration. Tonight, we can have a celebration. Even going back before that, you remember when they come through the Red Sea? You remember how Moses sang that song? The horse and the rider have God drowned in the sea. And then, just a couple chapters over, it says that Miriam and the women got out their timbrels. I know I'm in a Baptist church, but they got them out and they began to sing, "The horse and his rider has the Lord drowned in the sea." And they had a celebration. When the ark came back into Jerusalem, there was a celebration. You remember David embarrassed his wife. He said, "I don't care. I've got joy down in my heart." We will have joy, even though we're going through. And I'll close with the way the Lord laid up on my heart. COVID has got so many people down. People are just down. But our world, our country, has been through other pestilences. And I believe it was the church, with the help of God, that brought us through it. What the devil has meant for evil, I believe God can turn it into a praise and worship service in the house of God. Can you imagine if we could get all of our people today that are sick and afflicted back into the house of God? We get these that's been away, come back. What a joyous time we will have in the house of the Lord. So don't let the tribulation get you too far down. But remember, when you're down, to always look up. Because God is listening to your prayers. And some of our people that came and prayed for themselves, we need to be praying for them. That God would just intercede on our behalf to touch them from the tribulations that they're going through. I ask you tonight as a church, if you join us in an altar to pray. If you're not facing any of these tribulations, there's many of us others that are. And if you're going through what I have found in my Christian life, sometimes to put myself aside and pray for my brother or my sister, and the Lord touches them and it touches me and lifts me up by doing so. So would you join us as we close in this altar of prayer tonight? It's cold outside, but it's warm in the house of God. Amen. Join us as we pray. Oh, Lord. All right. Remember that.
Our brothers and sisters today, that God, that you know all about the circumstances, and God, we pray for them today. Ask you, Lord, that you would help them in this tribulation that they're facing in their life. God, that you would help them to be encouraged, that, Lord, what they're going through now is just a trial that, Lord, Satan has brought upon them and their family, their home. God, if they could just hold on to your name, your word, their prayer life, Lord, and your Spirit of God will minister unto to their souls. That God, that they would feel, Lord, that you are in control of the situation and the trouble that they're facing now, Lord, is about to dissipate. Lord, I pray for not just them, but for all of us today, God, that are in the church of the living God, that are going through these trying times. And God, that you would encourage us with your Spirit and help us, God, to look forward to that day when we shall sing our songs of victory, Lord, and praise you no matter where that we might be at. For God, we know we need you in such a way like we've never needed you before. Our generation, Lord, has not seen it like this, in this depth, in this breadth of trouble that we're in today. Lord, we pray that you would help us, God, to stay strong, stay motivated and straight, stay within your word and our growth, that we might be able, Lord, to persevere and march out of here victorious over each and everything that Satan throws at us today. Help us, Lord, as we go through and as our family and friends are going through these trying times. Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon you and remember, Lord, that you're still in control. You're still on the throne, Lord, and there is nothing that Satan throws at us that you cannot conquer and give us the victory. Go with us now. Lead, guide, and direct each and every need that there is. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes, bless our sister. Amen. God bless each and every one of you tonight. I pray that on this cold Wednesday night that the Lord spoke something to your heart to encourage you. I know I need it. I need it. And I believe our church needs it. Our country needs it. And I can't speak for the rest of the world, but when I hear about the things going on in other countries, they need it as well. But remember the song from the McCameys from years gone by. The God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. Amen. God bless you. Stay warm. Bundle up. And have a good rest of this week. I did see that I think it's next Wednesday or Thursday, it's going to be like 43 degrees. And I said that to a guy at work yesterday or day before when we was talking about it. And, you know, there's always a killjoy. I said, it's going to be 43 degrees. He said, yeah, but it's going to be raining. I said, I'll take 43 and rain over minus 2 wind chill factor. So we got something to look forward to. There's always something good if you look at it in the right perspective. God bless you. Have a great rest this week. Invite someone to come out and be with you Sunday in our services at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for our morning worship. God bless you tonight.